we all know that Vedana is more apparent than Pasa, and Vedana has its own kanda. Pasa doesn't appear, but it's stressed so much in the suttas. And the other day we would say, with regard to calmness and concentration, calmness appears but concentration doesn't. Well, that's what I would say. But how can we generalize like this? It may seem like that for us, that calm appears, but others might say concentration appears. Is that just because it's thinking about it only? And the Buddha didn't say, well, Vedana and calm appear, but Pasa doesn't appear. So how do we know that?
We can prove our understanding. Because you see that even right now, there must be Pasa, but Pasa does not appear. So what appears? If we have the understanding of whatever appears, and then later on, we'll go on knowing what is the object that awareness is aware. But no selection.
Right. But people have different accumulations, so how can one generalize and say, oh, just because for us Vedana is more apparent than Pasa, that's how it is?
I think that as Khun Ashita just talked about Vedana, that's so important. And then after that, she said, so we remember, see, Sanya. That's why Rupa Khanda, Vedana Khanda, and Sanya is there. So we can see that without Sanya as the support of Sankhara Khanda, remembering, marking all the time. So if there is no Sanya, nothing is important at all. We don't try to have this or that. But since Vedana has arisen and fallen away, but Sanya remembers.
But you can say Pasa is so important even though it doesn't appear, because without Pasa, Vedana in the first place.
You can also say Vedana is given a special place of prominence in the teachings.
So is Pasa.
Yes, but Vedana more so.
On what aspect? This is the most important thing. Without Pasa, Citta cannot experience
anything.
See? Mm. But that is on part of Pasa, as Ahara Paccaya.
When we talk about avijja and moha, sometimes you use avijja and sometimes you use moha. Avijja and moha.
Yes.
So no distinction at all, because sometimes people
it's
say...
It's jetasika, one jetasika.
When we say avijja, paccaya, sankhara, independent origination, no reason why avijja is used rather than moha.
Because I think that we can use many terms to explain or to point out what jetasika it is. For example, in Thai, moha is long, to be intoxicant. If there is no understanding at all, then how much one is intoxicated. So that is an aspect of moha, to be like that. But avijja, vichha is understanding, and moha is not understanding.
And avijja as anusya, no reason why it is avijja rather than moha.
Just different names.
Okay. They are used in different contexts, but in fact they could be interchanged.
If there are many words which can be used, shall we use just one word? Like jnana and panya and vichha.
So no special significance in terms of which is used. And mentioning about the anusya, as we know, the foundation wrote a whole long series on anusya, and it seems it's important to at least have some theoretical understanding about the anusya. But in discussion, you almost never mention the anusya.
Because we all know.
We all know.
About anusya.
I
see. So it's not eradicated yet. So it's conditioned akusala cetasika arises with citta.
And we talk about the latent tendencies as anusya. When we refer to asya, it refers to kusala and akusala.
Yeah.
Can we call these latent tendencies?
It depends on your language if you can use them.
Okay. Right. And for example, if we're talking about the latent tendency of avijja or ditti, the feeling that accompanies them accumulates the defilements also, but it's not called anusya, but just accompanying anusya, something
there
like that.
There are 14 unwholesome jetasikas, but only 7 anusyas.
I was just saying, in a sense you could say there's no feeling accompanying anusya because they are latent, but when they manifest and arise with feeling, then they are not anusaya.
It's the pariyutthana kilesa.
Yeah.
No more anusaya because it works. Yeah. It performs a function.
But when the lobha is not appearing, it is anusaya. It's accumulated as anusaya. And the unwholesome feeling is also accumulated, but it's not anusaya, it's asya. Mm-hmm. But it's also accumulated.
Whatever has arisen and fallen away is succeeded on and on, carried on.
Because in the text on Dhanusya, there were several references to the feeling, so it's just understood that the feeling that arises with the dosa is also accumulated along with the anusya.
How many anusyas are there then?
Well, there are only 7 mentioned, but other akusala tendencies also are accumulated.
So all dhammas are anusya?
All akusala.
14?
Well, anusya just refers specifically to 7, but because all chaitasikas are accumulated, either as
by different ways, pagatubanisya bhajya, or by being anusya.
But wouldn't asya cover all? Because asya refers to kusala and akusala.
Chavanachitas.
All mental dharmas arising now are accumulated. All chaitasikas are accumulating.
As pagatubanisya, but not as anusya.
But what about as asya?
Asya is wholesome.
Wholesome and unwholesome.
Right.
So can one not say all mental factors are accumulated as asya?
As pagatuba, bhajya.
So asya anusya doesn't cover all mental factors.
Kusala and akusala, chaitasikas.
But does that include all chaitasikas?
Would you like to say that? Or would you like to know that there are 7 anusya and the kusala which has accumulated is not unwholesome, so it's wholesome?
And we can say whatever's been accumulated and isn't arising at this moment is latent.
Well, this is the question. Feelings are...
Will feeling condition akusala chetasika to arise?
No.
Or the latent tendency of lopa condition, lopa chetasika to arise.
Okay. So asya and usya only refer to those chetasikas which condition...
When we talk about just this topic, not talking about the pagatubanisya bhajya.
So asya and usya does not cover all kusala and akusala.
Otherwise we'll have more than it's said.
So this is why feelings are not, because it doesn't condition...
Someone suggested that?
I don't think I'm too much about this at all, because it's only just thinking about this. And sometimes it's beyond our understanding.
And also Ajahn has explained in the Thai tapes that in fact the anusya, because moha is there, and moha arises with every akusala.
The definition of anusya is the kilesa which hasn't arisen to perform its function in akusala citta. Whenever it's there, like the rebirth consciousness, there must be anusya. Otherwise, after that, there will never be akusala. So the definition is anusya is the kilesa which hasn't eradicated yet. That I understand.
Which isn't arising, but hasn't been eradicated.
So it's there in rebirth consciousness for vanka, kusala, kiriya, until it's completely eradicated, no conditions to have it arise at all.
It's a particular set. Yes, all mental factors are accumulated.
Because you see that even the other akusala chetasika are not included.
Exactly, so that was my question. Why? So it's not attempting to cover all accumulated tendency, just those which are the main ones in causing.
Which Buddha know? Buddha told. I think that we all think that it can be the prior factor only for the Buddhas to become Buddha. But it does mean that in that life he has already attained.
It's the prior factor, but it doesn't mean in that life
he had already attained. Kotarupu especially, because by Bhajya, what comes after Kotarupu must be Makkhacitta.
Is there a level of vipassana jnana that we can say could have been attained in a prior lifetime, and then in subsequent lifetimes no further
development? I think that we cannot tell anything except by reading about vipassana jnana, because people are different who can know all and who can understand all except Buddha himself.
Right.
And if he didn't say, it's only our own thinking whether it will, whether it will not, whether it can, whether it cannot.
Okay. Can I just put the question another way? Suppose someone has taken a vow to become a Buddha or to become a great disciple, and that has been confirmed in the presence of a Buddha. So that person, as we know, was, in the case of a bodhisattva, capable of enlightenment within that lifetime, but still, by virtue of taking this aspiration, the possibility of enlightenment is no longer there. So
it's therefore enough for Sankharupekha jnana and Kotaparu, but these two jnana or the other jnanas, if they arise, then he would be Savaka, not the Sammasambuddha.
Right, so
wouldn't that apply to any stage of insight, even if it was Nama Rupa Parikshita?
Because after insight, then it goes on. How can you stop?
Right.
It's not mentioned in the book, but we can consider that when there is one and then it continues on by condition.
So according to your understanding under the previous Buddha,
what I get from the book, because it's not said, if it's said, is it possible to have Kotarapu jnana and stop?
Right.
And what jitta after arise Kotarapu jnana part?
No one suggests that it's Kotarapu jnana, but they say
Sankharupekha jnana and Kotarapu jnana.
Before Kotarapu, it says just Sankharupekha jnana, not Kotarapu. It means
Anuloma jnana.
Before.
Because you see that Anuloma jnana includes
Kotarapu.
Yeah.
So
but some places say that Anuloma jnana, not Sankharupekha jnana. เพราะว่าภาษาไทยเราไม่พูดถึงสังขารุเบกขาญาณวิพุทธิเราพูดเรื่องอนุโลมญาณ
I see. In Thai they don't talk about
Sankharupekha
jnana. This is from the Majjhima Atthakatha about Jyotipala, for example.Just the translation from the Pali. Having become well established in the fourfold purity of virtue, learned the Tipitaka, the Buddha word, undertaken the 13 austerities, and entered the forest, they fulfilled the duty of maintaining their meditation subject while going out for alms and coming back, perform the Dharma of a Samana, and cause insight to grow up to conformity knowledge. But up to is yeva, it means.Close to yeva means in the vicinity, yama, not
so
conformity.
Nothing to do after that.
But stopping there, they do not undertake any striving for the sake of the path and the fruit. This is just what Jyotipala did. So this is Burmese teachers and some Pali scholar here. They say it's referring to Sankharupekha jnana. No one says it's Anuloma or Gotrabe.
Up to before Anuloma.
But you see that after that life, where did he go?
Well, what they say is, well, many, many lives as a bodhisattva.
Be born in hell?
Because not
after
yet Jyotipala?
After that life?
According to previous karma, why not?
So, what's the use of having the Sankharupekha jnana?
Well, what they say the use is that if it hasn't been attained, impossible to develop the perfections enough to be a key disciple or a bodhisattva.
So you mean the bodhisattva has attained Sankharupekha jnana and then go to hell? Because even the Paccayaparikkha jnana is Chula Sotapanna.
But if it's Chula but not Sotapanna, then we know only Sotapanna no more.Life
and it says too that for Chula Sotapanna not go to heaven.
Does it say that?
Yeah. We have read all this and we have discussed, but we cannot.
No resolution.
No resolution.
Because you see that it's impossible for him in order to become Sammasambuddha by himself.
This is what my understanding was before. This is why I'm so surprised.
So what is meant by all parami, and the last parami is dana, vesantara. That was the last life of bodhisattva is vesantara, not Jyotipala.
Yes.
And before vesantara, เราจะดูให้คุณเห็นว่ามีที่เกิดในอบายภูมิ and for Jula Sotapanna, may kurd na ibay.
Impossible.
And what about the virtues? Lots of virtues. Ready to become enlightened by oneself? That person has almost become the Sotapanna. Almost. Because the Vipassanayana has reached that degree. But so it's impossible.
I've argued all these points, but the way that the friend said to me was, oh, most people, like, if the insight is so high ready, then okay, but so we're talking about the great disciples and the Bodhisattva. It's different because they are destined to have these great roles, so even can attain these high insights, but no conditions to become enlightened because it's the Bodhisattva.
And you see that in anyone's life, if one has reached that degree of Vipassanayana, because Vipassanayana is not just the development with Satipatthana, then it's not Vipassanayana yet. If that person has experienced great Vipassana, not just Nama Rupa Parichetayana, not just Paccaya Parikhayana, not just Uttayapayana, and also the Nirodhanupassana, Anicca-anupassana, and Anatta-anupassana, shouldn't he has in his own mind to attain Nibbana in that life?
Well, it depends if he is
No. Who knows then that there is resolution like that in that
but
life? Because Panya grows so high. So what should be left for him to still want to be in the world, to become Sama Sambuddha? So it depends on how we understand those words. As prior, Panya is all right. Because you see that even the word just ready to become Vipassana of that degree, I agree. But not that he had already.
So is it the fact that he's made a vow back then the condition for not going that much further?
So then why Vipassanayana arise?
He's reached to the stage where saying, I've got trouble.
No attachment for life or for birth. Because of the experience of the arising and falling away of realities, not just Uttayapayayana, but also higher, much higher than that, Nibbidayana already. Yeah.
And Uttayapayayana is enough to want to attain Nibbana, no?
No want, but it conditioned on and on, yeah. To have less attachment until Nibbana can be experienced.
But he married many of those later life, before the life of becoming Buddha. I would have thought if he wasn't so attached to Nama and Rupa, why would he marry? Conditions.
Well, we know the Sotapanna can marry.
Okay, and he wasn't Sotapanna.
Right.
When you say prior Panya, it's okay. What do you mean by prior?
It's not Vipassanayana yet, but ready.
Accumulations. Yeah. Can you just say accumulations? Yeah.
But no Vipassanayana.
But ready for that.
And even when we talk about the parami of Panya being fully developed, not even first Vipassanayana.
Panya parami.
Panya parami.
Yes. Who knows, because he didn't say anything, but since he was the Samma Sambuddho, we know what it means by oneself to know realities from the very beginning.
About the paramis, the prior understanding, so there's the understanding ready to develop the Vipassanayanas, but not yet the Vipassanayanas. So how can this wisdom of this level be called Panya Parami when it's not even first stage of insight?
What about Satipatthana? Okay.
But, for example, the Satipatthana, before the level of insight, how can it be Parami?
What about the Satipatthana, lots and lots and lots, until it's ready to become from Sotapanna to Arahata, like Pahiya, and also Buddha himself?
Right. But then, in that case, it's already the
not Vipassanayana, but lots of Satipatthana and understanding ready for all Vipassanayana to arise.
And like for Sariputta, yeah. So prior attainment.
So Vipassanayana shouldn't hinder development of understanding by wanting to have it, because we can have everything and then we cook. But if we don't have ingredient enough to cook, how can we have it?
Okay, so as you understand these, all the ingredients ready so that when the cooking starts, no wasted time at all. Yeah. So you're saying the Panyaparami refers to having all the ingredients ready.
Yeah. To become Sammasambuddha.
It's a good analogy.
Chopped all the onions.
Chopped everything.
All the conditions are present.
Right. Just haven't lit the gas.
Well, you know, it's like those cooking programs. They have everything all chopped and ready in their little bowls, so they just have to throw it in. Yeah.